Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 81 of The Gut Goddess Show, and this week I'm talking about the mistakes and misconceptions around food intolerances. So if you have tried to be free from any food, dairy, gluten, sugar, eggs, nuts, FODMAP, whatever it is, I am going to be talking about some of the biggest mistakes I see people make, some of the kind of myths and misconceptions out there, and explaining to you how I approach it as a holistic nutritionist and what I would say to my clients and what is the best kind of protocol and approach to have to discovering if you had a food intolerance and if a specific food you're eating every day is affecting your energy, your digestion, your hormones, your mental well-being, and your weight. So it's going to be a juicy one. And before we dive on into that, I want to let you know something exciting. I am running for the final time in 2019. And I think like only the second time, my 5-day Beat the Bloat challenge, which is really exciting. I love running these challenges. It's where over 5 days, I help you to create a flatter belly and to boost your energy. So I talk about and outline why it is that you're bloated, what you can do about it, what to eat more of. We talk a bit about food intolerances, all the different things. And I share my kind of Beat the Bloat methodology, which is all about giving you the exact tools and strategies that you need to kind of get your belly and your energy back. So if you're feeling the need for a bit of a reset, hit the reset button. If you are sick and tired of being bloated, or you're just tired of being tired, and you would like to have me as your personal online holistic nutritionist for 5 days for free.com, then join me in the challenge. We're starting on October the 21st, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's all based online. Every day over the 5 days, I will share with you a kind of quick action and simple thing to focus on that's going to help you to see results. And I get such great feedback from these challenges of people are often surprised at how much of a shift they can feel in just 5 days. I know it doesn't sound very long, but trust me, if you come and join me and you take action on just 50% of what I'm going to share with you, you will not regret it. So if you want your energy back, your belly back, then join me in the 5-day Beat the Bloat Challenge. It would be so, so fun to have you there and to have you join me. To join, head over to Supernaturally Healthy, and you can .org or keziahall.com, and you'll see challenge in the menu bar, or there'll be a little pop-up that comes up, or you can head to the show notes or to the URL, which is supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/bloat. So say that again, supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/bloat, or head to the link in my show notes. I would love to have you there. Lots of love. So in this episode, we are talking about the mistakes and misconceptions around food intolerances, because unless you have been sort of living on an island off the coast of Scotland with no internet access and no access to general media, the whole free from, gluten-free, dairy-free, everything-free is a thing. We see it a lot. We see you go into a supermarket now and it's like gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, sugar-free, like it's all the free things, free from egg, free from corn, free from GMO, free from all of these different things. So what does it mean and how does it impact you? And is it something that's actually going to be helping with you? And what are the biggest mistakes that I see people make as a holistic nutritionist when I'm walking clients through this, when I'm chatting to them, when we're trying to figure out if food intolerances is something that is hindering their health and getting in the way of how they want to feel? So that is what we're going to be looking at today. So we're going to be looking at some of these different conversations, basically, I've had with clients over time, that I have with people via Instagram, with the comments that people have to me, that they send to me around food intolerances, because there's a lot of people that I think potentially have a food intolerance, but because they've approached it in the wrong way, they've made a mistake, they have a misconception about it, they think, oh, I don't have a food intolerance, this isn't impacting me, and they just carry on suffering, ultimately. Especially with things like when it comes to any digestive issues, autoimmunity, say thyroid problems, energy levels, and weight as well. If you have stubborn weight that doesn't seem to shift, a lot of the time it could be down to a food intolerance. So let's dive on in. So first of all, what do I mean by a food intolerance? Well, it's probably first helpful to define what it is not. So I'm not talking about a food allergy. So a food allergy would be if you ate something like dairy and you might have a really quick, strong and big immune response, maybe anaphylaxis. So my husband's allergic to peanuts. If he eats peanuts, he will immediately have a reaction, and if left untreated, will struggle to breathe and eventually die. That's not what we're talking about. That's not a food intolerance. That is an allergy. What we're talking about is with the food intolerances is still an immune response, but it's a much more chilled, kind of lower, not as critical immune response that you would have to eating a food. So if I ate gluten, I'm definitely not going to die from eating gluten. If right now I just sat and ate a massive croissant or muffin, I would actually be fine. My breathing would be fine. I wouldn't even, because I've done so much work on my gut health, I probably wouldn't get bloated. I wouldn't even feel it. But I would feel really tired and moody and my joints be a little bit sore over the next few days. So that's like a much lower response to being exposed to a certain substance, say gluten, as opposed to, say, my husband when he gets exposed to peanuts. That's a very quick, immediate, life-threatening response. So just to clarify different things, because some people be like, I have a food allergy, and I'm like, no, you actually have a food intolerance. Allergy is slightly different. So what are some of the mistakes and misconceptions that people have? Because there's a lot out there, and I totally get it. This can be really confusing, guys. Because you might have a best friend that when they ditched gluten, honestly, it was like a light bulb moment in their life. Their whole life changed when they got rid of gluten, and they have been preaching about it ever since. And when you've tried it, you've not had that. Your friend had, they ditched it for 3 days and were like, oh my goodness, I feel so different. And you did it for a week and felt absolutely no difference, no change, nothing, nada. So you just went back to eating bread. Because you were like, I did not have the same response as my friend over here. And so it can be a bit confusing and complicated because everyone is different and everyone has slightly different responses to different foods. Because the most common things people will be intolerant to are things like dairy and gluten and wheat, which is a kind of subset of gluten. But people can be intolerant to things like apples, pears, garlic, onions, leeks, loads of different things. So it can get a little bit confusing, and that's why it's really good to learn about your body instead of being like, well, I'm just going to follow this diet or this outward strategy. Actually, you really want to create nutritional habits based on what your body is saying, your symptoms, your health history, your potential genetic factors. Those are the things you want to incorporate, because just doing what your friend Polly over there is doing might not do you any good, because she might have really different genetics. She might have a really different ancestry to you. And so you need completely different things. So what are some of these common misconceptions? Number one is that it didn't work. So people will be like, yeah, I tried going gluten-free. I tried going dairy-free. Say you're coming to me and you have IBS and your poo tends to be quite loose, maybe diarrhea-y. Maybe it goes between constipation and diarrhea. You just don't feel like your poo is great. You bloated, sore tummy, IBS type things. And I say, oh, have you thought about maybe going, seeing if dairy is a problem? Because dairy often can be a problem if there's kind of more looser end of bowel issues with diarrhea. Oh, no, Kezia, it didn't work. Tried that, it didn't work. Often when I dig a little bit deeper, this is what I discover. People try something for maybe 4 or 5 days, maybe a week, and then they feel didn't make any difference, so they just give up. So that's not a proper approach. That's not like a thorough investigation if you have food intolerance. So it might not have worked. The next thing is that you need to give your body time to calm down. So people often think, well, I have ditched gluten, I've ditched dairy, whatever the food is. And then so literally overnight, they're expecting this instant response. Whereas if you think about it, go with dairy. Say you've been putting milk in your tea or coffee every day for the last 20 years. Just not having milk for 24 hours or 48 hours or 72 hours is not going to undo that potential exposure to that food that is inflammatory to your body. That's not enough time. Think about it. You've been having toast for breakfast every day for 10 years, 5 years, 1 year even. You go 3 days without toast. Can you see there's a big discrepancy there? Your immune system, and if we are talking about a very mild, kind of low-grade immune response to a food that you are exposing yourself to every day through eating, 3 days compared to almost this buildup of 10 years of exposure, you're not necessarily going to get that light bulb. Oh my goodness, after 3 days, everything in my life felt different. Now, we will all know people and have read stories where that's the case. I have actually had clients where literally 4 days after ditching gluten, it has been a light bulb moment. So that does happen. But I would say that probably happens to like 10 or 15% of us. And the rest of us, it's actually that slow burn. So if you think it's not worked, I would ask you the following questions. Did you do it properly? Meaning, were you sneaking in little bits of milk in your tea? Because it's only a little bit. You only have a little bit of milk in your tea. Or just a couple of bits of bread, just a couple of bites of bread, or just a couple of biscuits. Not much. I'm mainly gluten-free. No. If you want to do a thorough investigation and a thorough test on yourself around food intolerances, you need to actually be really strict about it for at least 30 days. Ideally longer, but at least 30 days. So if you like, Kezia, it didn't work. Not having dairy didn't make a difference to my IBS or to my bowels. Number one, did you do it for long enough? Did you do it for at least 30 days? And during those 30 days, were you really strict about it? Did you not, you know, it's not about the quantity of milk you're having. It's about the exposure to the protein or the sugar in the milk, no matter how much or little of it you have, that could be causing an inflammatory response. Does that make sense? So really important. So if it didn't work, first of all, those things. Did you do it for at least 30 days? And maybe like, Kezia, yeah, I did do it strictly and I did do it for 30 days and I felt no difference. Well, there's two things then. Number one, you might have needed longer. So we know from research with things like gluten, that kind of inflammatory response, and some people can go on for months and months. So you might have actually needed, especially if you've got a lot of inflammation. So I had a client who had rheumatoid arthritis, so with lots of inflammation, really tired, really sore joints, loads of digestive issues. Actually, she really needed to ditch gluten for about 2 to 3 months before she felt a difference because there was so much inflammation. Her body just needed time to calm down, but it was really beneficial in the long run. So it might be you needed longer, or genuinely, it might be that that food is not an issue for you, and that's okay. If you feel great having quality sources of dairy, great, go for it. Bob's your uncle. But don't assume that you are if you've not done a proper and thorough test. So that's the first kind of mistake or misconception. The next thing is, like I touched on, is people will be like, oh, no, I won't have a problem with dairy. So again, let's say we have this person, they have IBS type symptoms, they swing between constipation and diarrhea, they have really a lot of bloating, sore tummy, which to that I would also say, make sure you join the bloat challenge. And I would maybe suggest, okay, maybe have you ever run an experiment with dairy to see if that's contributing to these symptoms? And they would say, oh no, yeah, I don't really have dairy. No, I don't really eat dairy at all. And then on further investigation, what they mean by that is they only have a bit of cheese. They might have a little bit of milk in their tea and coffee a couple of times a day, but that's about it. That is still dairy. That's still exposure. Same with gluten. You might be like, oh, no, I don't actually eat bread and I don't eat pasta. It makes me bloated. But you do have a couple of biscuits, or you do have a cereal bar or some sort of rye bread or something with gluten in. That's still an exposure. So it's not always about the quantity. It's not about drinking like a liter of milk a day. You could be having a splash of milk in your tea and coffee, but that could still be having an inflammatory impact on your body. Okay, the next kind of misconception is, oh, but I really crave really crave bread or crackers or milk or cheese or eggs or whatever the food is that you might be thinking you're intolerant to. So I get this because I will really get this with dairy. So I had constant tonsillitis when I was younger. If you were a child who had constant tonsillitis and maybe had your tonsils out, chances are you don't tolerate well with dairy. Just, that's not 100% you know, guaranteed rule, but generally, if you were my client and I saw that in your health history, I would be thinking, man, you need no dairy, my friend. So for me, from a young age, my mom even knew if we had too much milk as kids, we'd get eczema. I had tonsillitis all the time, lots of sinus issues, then gland issues. So dairy is not my friend then. I ended up with chronic diarrhea. A lot of research will link kind of intolerances to dairy with diarrhea. So I know that dairy just isn't my friend, doesn't do me a lot of good. But I will often get real cravings for milk. Like I just want like a brownie and a glass of cold milk. Or if I'm having a curry, I love a glass of milk with a curry. If you've never tried that, it's honestly the best thing. People always have beer with curry and I'm like, no, no, give me a glass of milk, guys. This goes so well. But I know it doesn't even, but I will crave it. And sometimes it's really important that we listen to our cravings. So maybe your craving for dark chocolate or for means you need more magnesium. For salty foods means you need to support your electrolytes and your sodium and potassium intake. Your need for carbohydrates might mean your blood sugar is imbalanced. But sometimes we can crave the foods that are actually aren't doing us any good. And that can sometimes be if you're consuming dairy and you're not digesting it properly, like I wouldn't have been, then the kind of partially digested byproducts of this like partially digested dairy can have quite an opiate effect on the body and the digestive system, which can mean you have that craving sensation. Well, that's the case as at least with dairy and with gluten, is that kind of partially undigested forms of these foods can have that slightly addictive quality, which can mean we crave them. Okay, that was mistake number three. Mistake number four is you might go, okay, Kezia, I hear what you're saying, and I have IBS, or I'm bloated all the time, and I swing between being constipated and have diarrhea and a big bloated tummy. It's making me miserable. I'm going to try ditching dairy. And what you do is you go to the shop and you buy every single dairy-free product that you can. You buy dairy-free cheese, you buy all the dairy-free milks, dairy-free bars, dairy-free chocolate, dairy-free cream, dairy-free custard, dairy-free ice cream, dairy-free all the processed foods that should have dairy in, that don't have dairy in, you buy them. And instead of eating dairy, you eat all these processed foods instead. Chances are, that also is not going to do you any good. Same with gluten. And this probably happens more often with gluten. People go, okay, I'm going gluten-free. So they just go out and they buy tons of gluten-free bread, gluten-free wraps, gluten-free pasta, gluten-free cereal, all the processed foods that have a gluten-free label on. Now, chances are, if you're struggling with bloating, autoimmune issues, digestive problems, you actually, some of the ingredients of those gluten-free processed foods are also not going to be doing you any good. So if you've been like, Kezia, I tried going gluten-free and I maybe felt worse or I felt no different, it might be because you just made the switch and we're eating far too many processed gluten-free foods. So when you're going gluten-free, you're going dairy-free, you want to try and eat foods that are naturally gluten-free. So naturally gluten-free foods are gluten-free oats, buckwheat, rice, amaranth, quinoa. Naturally dairy-free things are things like coconut milk or making your own almond milk or cashew milk or hemp milk or those kinds of things. And it's not to say you can't go out there and buy some cashew milk or almond milk from the shop. Just read the ingredients. You really don't want to be buying a milk that's got like a trazillion different things in and maltodextrin and oils and all of that sort of stuff. You want as minimal ingredients as possible. And side note, it's just much cheaper if you make your own. I get some nut milk powders from Real Food Source that work quite well. But if you've tried going, okay, gluten-free or dairy-free, and it's not really worked, it's not made a difference, were you just eating a lot of processed gluten-free foods instead or processed dairy-free foods? So that's another mistake that I see a lot. And the next kind of misconception also that can come with food intolerances, and this is more especially with people that have maybe different health issues going on. Maybe you've had IBS for a really long time and maybe you have a thyroid issue. Maybe you suspect you have PCOS or you have another autoimmune condition going on. There's like a few different things going on health-wise, is that you can approach food intolerances by thinking, oh, well, if I ditch gluten or if I ditch dairy, then it will fix everything. Now, sorry to burst your bubble, but if you are, let's say you are hyperthyroid, loads of research shows that gluten is inflammatory to the thyroid. So you know that and you think, okay, I'm hyperthyroid, I'm going to ditch gluten. And you expect that should fix every single thing when it comes to your health problems. Now, If you are hyperthyroid and you ditch gluten, or even if you're hyperthyroid, whichever spectrum you fall on, ditching gluten, I would say most certainly is going to help you to feel better. But it's not going to fix everything. So if you, this is where another way that people can trip themselves up is they're like, well, no, I don't have food intolerances. It didn't work for me because it didn't, there was putting all this expectation that ditching dairy would fix their entire IBS and the, you know, the IBS issues, which they've had for the last 10 years and has been ruling their life. Yeah, ditching dairy might massively help your IBS and be a really important part of your recovery and your ultimately ditching of IBS, like I have and I've helped lots of clients with, but it's not going to be everything. Just removing food is not always the only answer. It is part of a bigger picture of answers. So with hyperthyroid, yeah, ditching gluten really, really helps support thyroid and reduce inflammation, especially if you have an autoimmune thyroid issue. But also you want to optimize your digestion. You want to support gut health. You want to make sure your body is getting enough selenium, zinc, iron, tyrosine, iodine into the system as well. Really, really important. So yes, it is super important, but it's not everything. Same with IBS, you might ditch dairy and that might massively help with your symptoms, but it doesn't get rid of all your symptoms because it's not the only thing. And the other misconception that people can get into with the whole food intolerance thing, they can ditch dairy and they feel a bit better, but not 100% better. So then they ditch gluten and then they ditch eggs and then they ditch nuts and then they ditch FODMAPs and then they, and it just gets way too restrictive. The constant restriction of your food is not going to help you to heal, but to a certain extent, it can be used really strategically and help you to heal. So for example, I don't eat gluten. I just don't. I also try to minimize how much grains I have. I try to just have a couple of servings a week and ideally would have no grains in my diet. I don't really eat much dairy, apart from maybe some goat stuff like goat butter. And recently I've been trying goat milk actually, which has improved. When I last tried goat milk, I remember it being absolutely disgusting. But there's the, so that you could look at my diet and be like, oh, there's lots of restriction going on. But it's actually really healthy. But I have had many a client that has gone down this food intolerance and restriction avenue, and it's just become too restrictive. With IBS, with thyroid issues, with PCOS, the food that you do or do not eat does matter, but it's not the whole picture. And removing more and more food to a point of incredible restriction is not always that healthy. It's got to be strategic. There's got to be a rationale for it. So those would be the biggest mistakes. Now, these are things I've had conversations with a lot with people, a lot with clients, a lot with people online. So I hope that has been helpful. Now, if you want my kind of quick and dirty solution for figuring out if you have a food intolerance, number one is pick one food. Start with gluten or dairy if you're in doubt, and or unless you already know, oh, I don't feel like my body likes onions and garlics or FODMAPs or whatever. If you don't already have that information, pick either gluten or dairy, completely remove it from your diet for 30 days. And replace it. So you got to make sure you replace this food with something. Replace it with naturally dairy or gluten-free foods, and making sure you're getting good quality, and then see how you feel. And I would say if after 30 days you even just feel slightly better in any way, that's a good sign to keep on going. So even if you're like, you know what? I just feel like my sinuses are a little bit clearer since I stopped having milk, and actually I've maybe been a bit less bloated. Like I'm still bloated, but probably a little bit less after 30 days of having no dairy. Keep on going, my love. That is my suggestion and my approach to doing it, because you can do this. You've got what it takes. Doesn't need to be forever either. Often with some people, you can, removing a food for a period of time allows the gut lining to heal and restore and kind of regain its resiliency and integrity. And you can actually introduce food. So now I can introduce things like gluten and dairy, and it's not occasionally, and it's not, I don't feel terrible when I do it. It's not a disaster because there's that resiliency into my gut. So I hope that has been helpful. If you have any questions about this, head over to Supernaturally Healthy on Instagram or on Facebook. And I would love to answer your questions. That's what I'm here for, guys. Generally would love your feedback about the show. If there's any topics you'd love to see on here, then let me know. Otherwise, have an amazing day, and I will speak to you next week for another episode of the Gut Goddess Show. use this little segment where I will chat about my one-to-one clients and success stories to actually just highlight and talk a little bit about energy. So one of the things that comes up time and time again with the clients I work with is that they're tired. And they're kind of tired of being tired. They're fed up of being fatigued. And what we have to look at when in our time together over the four-month program that I work with them on is what is draining their energy. Because if you're tired all the time, there's a reason for it. So I was chatting with a client this week who we started working together and was just exhausted, had some digestive stuff going on, and we are kind of nearing the end of her four-month program, probably about two and a half months into it. And we were just doing a bit of an update of her energy. And she was saying how surprised she was at how much energy she felt she had. And the reason for that is because during our time together, during our one-to-one sessions and that investigative work and doing a bit of detective work and running some tests, we could figure out what her energy drains were. And for her, there was poor digestion. There was a lot of energy, nutrient depletions. There was, she was lacking a couple of really key cofactors in terms of her energy production. There was a lot of stress in terms of her body being in this kind of fight and flight mode a lot of the time and getting not enough of resting in the segments of the day, and a couple of other things. And just by targeting what her energy drains were, actually we have started to see her energy increase and get back to what she feels like is her normal. So there's so much power in doing the detective work, in finding out what is going on with your health and in your body. So how I work with my clients is normally over a four-month period. So it's an in-depth four-month program, which is perfect when you are just sick and tired of being tired. You're fed up of fatigue, fed up of being bloated. You feel like you've tried lots of things. You feel like you actually have a pretty healthy lifestyle. You actually do good things for your body. You exercise, you move, you feel like you eat okay, but you still feel like crap. That's when that one-to-one and that really kind of tailored experience can be so helpful, and where you can make so much progress. And I see it time and time again with my clients, whether it was with their energy or their psoriasis or their PCOS or working on their fertility or getting rid of their IBS and bloating. This stuff works, which is why I'm so in love with my job. So if you're interested, head over to keziahall.com or supernaturallyhealthy.org. They both lead to the same place. And just click the work with me button. That's got all the information, the pricing, and what I do and how I work with clients. And you can book a phone call there with me where we can just honestly have a chilled out chat and see what's going to work for you. So I would love to chat with you. I have a couple of spaces for new clients at the moment. Don't have a lot, but I do have a few. And if it's the right step for you, then I would love to help you get your energy, your belly, and life back. Lots of love. So I decided to make this segment of the show as just kind of sharing good news and good news client stories. So this week I want to share a little bit about a wonderful lady called Catherine. And we worked together over a period of time to really help. And she said she came to me with a regular kind of more diarrhea type bowel movements, along with stomach cramps, bloating, wind. Her energy was really, really low and was just at the point where she was feeling like she was really struggling. And so just through doing what I do as a holistic nutritionist, creating a kind of personalized nutritional and lifestyle plan, making a couple of changes, looking at potential food intolerances, addressing certain triggers and maybe bacterial imbalances within her gut microbiome, over the space of probably just about 6 weeks, she then was telling me that now I poo every day, I'm much less bloated, the wind and stomach cramping has completely gone. And when I asked her kind of, did you have any hesitations with working with me? She said, my main hesitation, to be honest, was financial, but I would completely recommend working with you, Kezia. And she's gone on and recommended me to various people that she knows. Now, I don't say this just to like trump my own trumpet? I don't know, whatever the phrase is. But I say this for a couple of things. Yep, I know that I can help you. If you have digestive issues, IBS, hormonal imbalances, I know I can help. And often our biggest hesitation comes around finances. And sometimes that's valid, but also sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's us getting on our own way. But equally to tell you and to show you that there is hope and there is shifts and there is changes that can be made. You don't need to work with me in order to see them happen. There is such power in you taking ownership of your health, of your diet, of your stress levels, of your nutrition, because your food, your routine of the day can actually be the medicine that your body needs. And I just find that so exciting and so empowering. So if you do want to find out more about working with me, then you can head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org and you'll see a work with me button and on tab at the top. Click on that, or you can go to Instagram or Facebook and DM me. But wherever you're at, know that food can be your medicine. And wherever you're at with your health right now, things can change, things can heal. And you've got what it takes. Lots of love. Bye.